We are the Blood and Platelets Podcast, Tales of Transplant Survivors. Brandon, Alex, and Chrissy, we are genetically modified humans who have come together to tell real stories, real emotions, real experiences, fill a void for patients, encourage, give hope, and inspire those going through treatment and beyond.
Hello, everybody. Chrissy, Brandon.
Alex.
What's up, Alex? Chrissy.
My genetically modified buddies.
Yes. Should we explain how we are genetically modified?
We're GMO.
We're GMO.
100% organic GMO.
And we have no labels.
No, we're GMOs that are good for you.
other humans living inside of us, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have other people's cells living harmoniously inside of us.
Some younger than others.
Some younger. Yeah. Some older.
Yeah.
Do you guys think about that? Because I think about that a lot. Maybe more than the average bone marrow transplant patient, but I think about it a lot. I seriously, dude.
I can see Alex sitting like how you're room, how much like, man, what's going on with that little baby inside of me?
Yeah, and I think about my donor too. Like, you know, donors. I wonder.
Oh, I guess it was just one that engrafted.
Yep, it was donors, but one that engrafted. Yeah. The one that's keeping me alive, that's stuck in me, the Hispanic kid.
Hispanic baby.
The baby.
But no.
I think about it.
Yeah.
People ask me, like, how are you doing? I said, well, she's living very harmoniously with inside of my body right now. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, just say we're doing fine.
We're doing okay. Yeah, it's a wee situation.
Yeah.
How are you and your mom?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Your mom's doing good?
Yeah, we're both doing well.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. No, it blows my mind sometimes, dude. I mean, I hear about people having other kinds of transplants, but this is weird because you don't really feel anything.
No.
But you definitely feel that something has changed.
Yeah.
How do you, like, I don't know how else to say it.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Something majorly
major
is
cellular shift.
Yeah. Like, whether it's in my brain or in my heart or whatever, like physically, I cry a lot more. And I don't know why, but I
did. You ever know the gender? Did they determine that, or is
it was a boy?
It was a boy.
Yes, oh. both of my donors were boys.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was a girl, Mexican girl.
Are you trying to call me a girl, dude?
It's all right. I'm a woman.
You are a woman.
That's right. I ain't got nothing wrong. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But.
Well, so. On that, like how you think about it. So that's a big part of the mental aspect of recovery, of going through hardship, of cancer survivorship, of anything, right? Is the mental part of it.
Yeah. So, no, I think, you know, people that go through bone marrow transplants, some people might not be able to handle this idea, like their mind, their mentality might be really messed up because of this.
Right.
Have you thought about that? Like, yeah. I don't know. I haven't really met somebody that's real messed up from their transplant except myself. But
I think you're the only one that thinks that deeply about it. You might be the one and only.
Well, you know, I always.
It's okay, though. You keep pondering it.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need those insights.
Yeah. Well, how do you equate your mental strength, your mental ability beyond just the deep thoughts? How do you equate that with where it got you? I mean, you know, for me personally, the mental game was just as much a factor as the physical for me. I think maybe the mental was even more.
Yep, I agree. You agree, Brandon?
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, yeah, you were really young when it occurred to you, but you've been messing with your mental game for the past 19 years,
right?
Because of this. But yeah, talking about mental game, like, I feel like this transplant really allowed me to recognize what my true mental game is. And I'm actually gaining a mental game and mental strength because of my transplant. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it could go the opposite way for other people. But mm-hmm. for me, like you said, the mental game, like, that was the first thing that I had a discussion with in my own head when I was diagnosed, was, dude, my mental game, like, how am I going to handle it? And then afterwards, like, when I talk to people about my experience, it's totally a mental game. And, yeah. And it's not just a game. Like, I think this is the game of life. It's the mental, like, everything you apply mentally to conquer and defeat cancer or whatever, you know, disease you're dealing with, is the same type of mental game that you need to apply towards life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And right. that's like I was trying to express earlier, I gained mental strength from this experience because, yeah, what I did with my mental game during cancer and treatment, I carry that over into my regular everyday life now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
So, what did you do, like, while you were in treatment, what did you do to practice, like, the mental part, how to stay strong during, like, your treatment?
Yeah, while you're lying there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a very long story to this, but I'll kind of condense it. Like, I was never, like, a religious person or anything like that, but I always believed in spirituality, and I feel like there was a buildup, like, 3 years prior to me getting sick, like, naturally, some kind of something invisible, some kind of spirit overcame me, and I stopped smoking, I started working out, I started surfing a lot, I started, you know, reading books about, like, spirituality and religion and Buddhism and the law of attraction and meditation, like, mm-hmm. the Russell Simmons, his yeah, meditation, yeah. like, all these things that, and I remember I told you last time, my grandma gave me a bunch of books that I never read, but
right.
all of a sudden, it was a sudden, like, it was a rush of all these things that I never did or practiced before, and it was all unconsciously or subconsciously done, and then it led up to my cancer, and then I feel like,
you just continued it while during treatment? What?
Yeah, like, like the Ho'oponopono thing I said mm-hmm. last uh-huh. time. That was something I read maybe like a year before I was diagnosed.
It's almost like you had a prep.
Yeah, like, yeah. God,
the universe, you know, Holy Spirit,
was prepping me. They're like, yeah. dude, you're going to go through this crazy, crazy thing that's going to take a toll on your body, and I'm going to help you prep yourself.
Yeah.
So the whole time for me, like, I've never been a big video gamer or movie buff or whatever. Like, I like to spend time reading or just daydreaming, uh-huh. you know? So I did a lot of that, like, just self-reflection. I think I'm still doing the same thing, you know, now as I was doing when I was in the hospital. Uh-huh. But yeah, like, to answer your question, it was a lot of soul searching and finding my spirituality and finding my strength from within. Especially, I had my mom next to me, though. Like, she never left the hospital room. Uh-huh. She was always by my side. If she left, she would go home for a little bit and come right back, but uh-huh. she was always there. So yeah. I always had my mom to look at, and
right.
that was a deep, deep self-reflection on life. And
right.
that's what I did the whole time. I didn't have any kind of desire or inclination to play games or watch a movie or play, you know,
yeah.
go on the PlayStation or anything.
A deep thought.
Yeah. One. And I was like, I have to be mentally strong somehow to get through this.
Right.
Because I was never a mentally strong person before. I used to like cry when I would get a shot, like just, you know, just to draw blood. Like, I, you know, I would shake and I would do all that. Like, gosh. I was such a big baby. I had no mental strength before. Yeah. Like, you know, no mental strength, like no kind of, I was very reactive. Like I would overreact about stuff and I would, but yeah, that's, I don't think I'm getting the feeling you guys didn't have the same.
Yeah, definitely not.
A way of spending your time when you're in the hospital. No.
Brandon definitely.
Yeah.
I had some of it, but not all of
it. Well, which one of you guys want to go next? Because that's my gist of what I was thinking about.
You were in deep, deep thought.
But, you know, I'll add one more thing. When there was music involved, I don't know, music.
It lifted
me every time. Like every time I heard music.
I think so too.
Yeah. And when they had people come in with musical instruments, like mm-hmm. music therapy at City of Hope.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
We had carolers come.
Yeah.
Because I was there at Christmas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. I was the only patient that came out of her room.
So
they basically like sang to me the entire time. And I was like, this is the coolest private show.
Right?
Yeah, it was really cool.
I think I didn't have, no.
Yeah, timing-wise, I was at Christmas. But yeah, I mean, I think I had the prep too, because I had such a long time to prepare for it. But I think the mental aspect for me, I actually drew from so many other people. So everyone always say to me like, oh, Chrissy, you're so strong. It's just great. Like, you're staying so positive. I actually didn't feel like I was doing a lot of the work. I had so many people around me telling me like, you're going to be good. Think that, you know, we just have to be patient, or everything's going to be okay. Or, you know, even if they didn't know, it was just having that. I got cards, letters, you know, all sorts of stuff, messages, emails, just of love and support. And that was such a huge lift in the mental part, because I think I didn't have a chance to really, I mean, I certainly had bad days. I still have bad days. But I think in the hospital, it's almost like I knew so many people were rooting for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't actually have any doubts in my head that it wasn't going to work.
Mm.
The first night was the only night I ever doubted anything, and that was just a simple factor of I never knew what it means to be afraid to die, except for that first night when I checked in. It was like, holy shit, this is real. Like, I don't want to die. I 100% do not want to die. And I've told some of my friends and family this, because it was such a weird experience. I've never had that feeling to that intensity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually, combined with everyone around me showing me how much they love me, really pushed me through any of those dark times. You know, I mean, I let myself cry. I let myself get frustrated. I let myself complain. You know, we're human. You know, you're sitting in a hospital for at minimum a month. You know, I mean, I was bored. I mean, I didn't just sit in deep thought, you know, like you, Buddhist Alex. I watched season 3 of Narcos.
Yeah. I didn't catch
it. I had Netflix. Brandon.
If only. Jealous.
But yeah, I mean, I think that the mental, that showed me that in the hospital, because I was able to draw on the strength I had in my head, that gave me strength post-transplant, even when physical stuff was happening, to say, okay, this is crappy, or okay, this is scary, but I'm going to get through it because I got through all this other stuff. And I just keep going down that sort of route that I've been through something before, I got through that, I can get through this. Mm-hmm. And that sort of when people say, well, you stay positive, it's not so much positive for me. It's just like, I know I got through really hard stuff before. Yeah. And even before getting sick, I lost my mom before transplant. That sucked, you know, but I got through it. And so like all of those mini achievements, all those, you know, experiences leading up to it, I think has gotten me to a place where I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to be good. Yeah. I got a second chance of life. I'm going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my mental game is sort of, I'm still playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of where, that's where I kind of sit from it.
That, those, you just said a lot of very powerful statements, and one that that I can relate to that's most powerful that you said is, I don't want to die. Like, that was a commitment. It was just something that I told myself, like, you know, that that very second that the doctor told me that you're, you have leukemia, I was like, hell no, I'm not gonna die. Like, I've never had so much conviction or authority over myself or over my mind.
Feeling.
Yes, there's, I've never, like, if I could apply that intensity to everything that I
want to
do in my life, I would be, I would be
doing whatever you could possibly dream of.
And there are people that are doing that, and that's mind power. That's
right,
what,
totally.
And that's
totally,
that's just the degree of mind power that you have.
Right.
Like, for real. Yeah. I can totally like,
it's intense.
It's intense.
But that's as an adult, you know? Yeah. So like, Brandon, I don't even know if you had the I don't want to die moment because you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I can't remember one time thinking I was going to die. The whole time I was in the hospital, all I can think about is just how boring it is.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to go play basketball. I just want to go play with my friends. But one thing I can relate to with you, Chrissy, is how you had so much support.
Yeah.
I, one thing I do remember being in the hospital is that I had nonstop visitors. Like, there were people showing up from, like, the basketball community, from my school, people who knew my parents. There are people that would come into my room. I would talk to them for, like, a half hour, 45 minutes, talk to my parents. And then when they left, I'd look at my mom or dad, like, be like,
who is that?
Yeah. Yeah. They'd look at me like, do you know who that was? I'm like, no. I thought you knew who that was. So, yeah, it was just the nonstop support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing how much people care.
Yeah. Yeah. If
it's
because
a, it's a driving force.
Yeah.
Right?
Because all of them came in and visited me, like, I felt like I was going to be okay because they came in, they weren't, you know, sad that I was sick. They were happy to see me. I was happy to see them, obviously, if I knew who they were. But yeah, like, the only, I had to mentally be strong to, like, not be bored. I had to figure out ways to not be bored.
Right.
Because back in 99, there was, it wasn't Wi-Fi. I had dial-up internet.
So sad.
I know. It was rough. Thinking about it now,
it really is.
Like, the only kind of social media at that time was
AOL.
Was AIM.
Say, was there social
media? Yeah, it was AIM. And, like, all my friends were at school, so there's no one to talk to. Yeah, that's how I'd get music. I would go into, like, chat rooms, and, like, it would take, like, 2 hours to download one song. But,
Brandon,
yeah.
You suffered, my friend.
I know.
You suffered.
But I had the real life DMs. People came to my room and
there you go.
Gave me real life DMs. I had the real life social media.
That's awesome.
Yeah. None of this.
None of it.
Instagram stuff.
Instagram direct message.
But yeah, I think people now in the hospitals, especially like young adults, teens, having social media is huge. Like, they could, there's so much support out there to help them.
There's still connection to
people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it can get overwhelming too. I mean, I get that it can get overwhelming, and you know, a lot of it, I've had friends tell me, like, well, I've had friends say, you know, who have come to me and say, how can we help this person, right? You know, I don't know what to do, and I've often given an example, like my friends came together and it was very cool. Before I went in, they went to all a bunch of, you know, we had a sort of a list, a Team Chrissy list, and they went to a lot of these people and said, you know, if you would like, you know, if you want to write a letter to Chrissy, and then we're going to compile it in a book for her.
Oh, that's cool.
So I got this book right before I went in the hospital, and it was all these letters, and I mean, letters from like family, friends, my dad, you know, like across the board. It was incredibly intense. But it was one of those that I kept it, and I kept it in my hospital room. And just having sort of that outreach of like the words of encouragement, you know, I didn't respond to it. I mean, I couldn't write back to all of these people, but, you know, reading them, it was, there was this sort of common theme happening, you know, of just sort of like, you're a badass, I look up to you. And these are like my little cousins saying this, and we've never had that conversation before, you know, and I love them. And it just was like, wow, that's amazing. And I kept it by my bed, and it was sort of like, okay, that's my book of badassness. I know my family's got my back, my friends. And it was just really powerful. And so something like even that, you know, when people are looking, how do we help this person? It's not like we can, you know, if you can't deliver food or you can't go visit, write a letter, you know, tell them a message you want them to hear, because that, some of those words, like, we take with us for a long time, maybe forever, you know? And I just think it's really a huge part of arming your mental strength with that, you know, any kind of support that you can get. Because it does make such a huge difference. But also, I've told friends, like, you know, say the words, just, it's okay if there's no response. Because there's, you know, plenty of times as a patient, you're sitting there, you have zero energy. You know, your biggest achievement of the day is getting up to go to the bathroom, you know. And, you know, I think people often think, well, what if they, you know, am I going to bother them? Or what if they don't respond? Send the message.
Yeah.
Tell them how you feel. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're there for them. But don't expect the response.
It's definitely going to do more good than harm.
Right.
Like, it's not going to hurt them writing a letter.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that is a huge part. It's like vitamins for your mental game.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Friends and family support. I mean, that's something I didn't get to touch on. But yeah, that was a big, big part. I think we all share that. I think anybody, any decent human being who gets sick, like, it's the love and the energy and the good messages and the support from all the people around you, and even strangers, like, and, you know, everybody's, I think it's human nature when somebody's going through something like that for us to give our energy, our positive energy to them, like, in every single fashion and form, whether it's singing a song, whether it's writing a letter, whether it's just visiting, or in our cases, whether it's registering to, you know, become a donor and recruiting more, you know, going to drives and doing drives, like, that kind of love and support. And, you know, with us, with social media, like, we were able to interact with the outside world, not in person, like, for Brandon, but we were able to reach out much further. People, you know, just like your story of people putting together, like, compiling stuff for you, like, I had that too. Like, people were teachers, had their class, you know, their students, you know, send me a video.
Right, yeah.
Like, little things.
You don't know these kids, but it's just, it's super, the energy from
it's
them.
It's super, super empowering. That's And what is that comes down to what we started this topic with, is your mental power. Because what are these people actually doing with all that stuff? You know, they're trying to boost your mental power.
Yes.
They're trying to boost your heart and your mind and your strength and reinforced your love in your soul. Like,
yeah, and they don't realize that they're doing. They're just writing a letter just to make you feel better. But,
right. Yeah. But it does so much more.
No, yeah. But that's, you know, there are those people out there that say, like, your words and, you know, something on paper or whatever, energy, like you're
passing. Right. Yeah, like how they say, like, smile or laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah. Right.
Like, when I was in the hospital, like, friends would come over and we would laugh and, you know, crack jokes, whatever. And that, those are the days where I just felt the best, felt more energized. Right. Like, yeah. It just gave me, like, a boost of everything, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And, yeah, I really do believe that people's energy is more powerful sometimes than, like, the medicine that we receive.
Yeah.
It is. You were telling your story about how you spent your time in the hospital earlier, and, you know, I kind of felt like it was a little bit different from me and Chrissy, but you had, like, innate mental strength. Like, at your age, for you to go through what you're going through and not focus on that negative thing and just think about video games and just thinking about basketball and just, like, grown adults wish that they could go into cancer and just shift their mind and just think about all this
right.
wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't when you're grown up. You think about all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of how much, like, basketball meant. Shit. Like, I just wanted to get well to play basketball. So, like, my basketball coach would come whenever he could.
Yeah.
And he would walk me down, like, the halls. He would sometimes bring, like, a basketball for me to, like, dribble in the hallway. And the only time that I've cried because I was happy was when the doctor said that I can go out, leave the hospital, and go watch my basketball team play.
Yeah.
That was the only time I've, like, got emotional because of happiness.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else. It's just from basketball. But just that state of mind saying, like, I'm well enough to go watch my team play, the one thing that is, you know, keeping me, you know, mentally strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is basketball.
You know, that's such a perfect example, like, the power of your mind. Because everything that you're telling me, like, never once did you say I was focused on what I was going through, or I was scared, right. or I was afraid. It was always, your mind was never going there in mm-hmm. a negative direction. Right. So it was naturally on the positive side.
Yeah.
You know, your mind, there's a threshold. There's a line that drawn in the middle. Like, you're either on the negative side or you're on the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like when you were going through at your age, you didn't have to deal with this negative side so much that I had to consciously constantly try to block out.
And
I had to try to, like, float on this side.
Right.
And like, this side is always trying to grab me. And that's kind of how it relates to life. Like, life, I'm always being drawn. It's the cuckoo clock. Yeah. Drawn into the negative side. And I have to consciously be aware of that and pull myself to the positive side. And that's kind of what I was pondering on and learned from this whole experience.
Yeah.
Like, about mental power and going through the great ordeal.
Right.
And to get this new perspective from you, like, you made me realize, like, at your age and what you were going through, it reinforces to me, the strength of your mental power. Mm-hmm. Because just like you said, your friend Madison or other people that struggle with any kind of difficult health issues or any kind of issues, like, if your mind is always, like, focused on it,
yeah,
it's going to be hard for you to get out of it. But if you could think about basketball and video games every day, I think it'll be a lot easier for you to not get drawn back into that dark space.
Right.
And then, you know, like we were talking about last time, your body reacts to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, for sure. Like, as you were thinking about video games and basketball, your cells were happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't tripping like us. Like, my cells were like, dude, are you scared? Are you happy? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, yeah. All of a sudden, you're like, you know,
yeah.
In total, like, fear of dying. And then the next moment, you're trying to convince yourself, like, you just want to, you know, you're happy yeah. to be alive. Like, it doesn't sound like you had that crazy up and down, but it's all one feeling, though. It's either really high or really low, but you can never be both. I can't be really high and really low at the same time. It's like just
you have to make a decision which way you want to go.
Right.
And I think in terms of, you know, mental fortitude, like, it's like what you're saying. The energies you can get from, that's what people are doing when they're sending messages, the support, the love, whatever
they're building your mental strength.
Right. They're mm-hmm. building your mental strength, but it's almost your responsibility as the patient to accept that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times when I was getting to the points where it was more negative or it was darker or whatever, I was shunning that energy. Mm-hmm. I was like, you guys don't understand. You don't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
You,
yeah.
It's a you and then me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think, fortunately, I was able to overcome in those moments was then going back to, no, wait, I have so many people pulling for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there isn't a you and me, it's an us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being willing and open to accepting that energy, because it's not selfish. It's not something that is, you know, oh, you're being self-centered, or oh, you're being a victim. No, you're just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And if surviving is feeding off of other people's energies that they're willingly giving to you, you take that.
So, yeah.
You take that energy and you use it. That's exactly why they're giving it to you.
I think that I think that's what the three of us did, because you just said that's what you did, and you said you did with everybody coming in.
Yeah,
I did the same thing. Every single piece of positive energy that I could receive from anybody, from any direction,
right,
in any way or form,
you accepted
it. I accepted it, and I left it right here, and I was letting it give me more strength,
right,
more mental power,
right, yeah,
like more. Like,
and it doesn't mean that you're happy where you are, you know?
No.
It's not to say, like, if you're going to be positive, you're not going to say, I am so grateful that I'm eating this crappy hospital food right now and sitting in this hospital. It's just you have a certain reality. And when you have the ability and the fortune to have such good support, whether it be doctors, nurses, friends, family, support groups, you know, books, whatever.
Because
you know, it can come in any form.
Yeah, not everybody has that, though.
No,
yeah.
No, they don't. But if you're one of those people listening, like, that you say, well, God, that's great for you, but shit, I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
You have to find it. You have to find where that energy source can come from, because mm-hmm. it can be in so many different forms.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you said your mom didn't leave your side.
No.
Which is amazing.
It is.
Well, my mom was dead when I was doing mine. She couldn't, you know, she wasn't there.
I'm sorry.
But no, but it's not like a competition, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that was good for you. And you drew on that energy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my situation didn't allow me to, but I found it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe
I
you
found
were
it
able
in
to...
other people.
Yeah.
I had Mark, I had my dad, you know? I found it in, you know,
but I'm sure
the
thoughts of your mom gave you strength.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, her spirit was giving you strength.
100%.
The thought of her would give you strength.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I actually felt more at peace that she was watching over me than if she was actually here on Earth,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
and sick. So, for sure. But I think it's just finding whatever that source of energy can be to feed your
yep.
mental strength, that's such a key to survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And energy is infinite, and energy cannot, what do they say, cannot be created or destroyed. It just is. It's just there. Like,
right.
Whether you want the bad energy or the negative energy, like, all that good energy and love exists in the world. It's not in the physical part. It's not how many cards you get or how many mess texts you get or right. how many people that come visit
right.
you. Like, if you really want to tap into that positive energy and that spirit, it's like they say, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be
there,
released.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's there. Like,
it can only be.
If you yeah. believe in the invisible, man, like, it's there. I believe in the invisible. Like, mm-hmm. all that love and all that energy, like, mm-hmm. and everything that I've learned and gained, and the entire, like, I'm a completely different person, like, than before I got sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not in the physical way, but in the energy way.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
It's an energy thing. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
maybe that's the shift for people, is that they start, if people feel, you know, that they struggle with staying positive during real hardships, and that's not easy. It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a shift to say, you know what, I just need to change the energy, because that's a little more tangible even,
yeah.
you know? If you can think about it that way, it's a little more tangible to think, okay, I just need to shift this energy.
Yes.
And draw on the good energy versus the bad energy.
Right, because everybody has a choice.
Right.
Yeah.
And both exist.
Yeah, they both exist.
Sure.
Yeah. Then they're the same energy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's polar opposites of
so
the same energy.
So it's like maybe that can give people another option to mentally strengthen themselves.
Yeah, because what is negativity? It's really ignorance. It's not understanding. It's being confused. And that's what causes, you know, doubt and fear and anxiety and
mm-hmm.
unhappiness. It's because your mind is not in a smarter or more elevated, educated place. I'm not trying to say people are ignorant, but everybody possesses ignorance, because everybody can always learn. And
absolutely.
if you could just raise your consciousness and be aware that there is a negative and positive energy in the world, and you can keep your mind on the positive side mm-hmm. and draw
yeah,
it
you
in
can channel it into the good,
right
then.
If
yeah.
people are throwing you, like, you know, steps so that you can get higher and higher to reach a higher consciousness, like you said, embrace it from wherever you can get it.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But some people don't recognize that, and they just stay. And that's, I guess that's how I feel like I can help people, is to voice this out.
Right.
And maybe write it on paper or something to remind people. Like, we always talk about affirmations to remind people. Like, if somebody might really negative right now might hear this and be like, yeah, I know. I know about all of that. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they tune out and then they're back in that negative space. But you just said, you know, but do you really know? You just said, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you're not like striving to mm-hmm. stay in that zone. You
right.
know?
Well, I think, yeah, I think it takes effort to shift to that energy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's
yeah.
especially
yeah.
if you're already in that negative space, to shift your mindset and stay in there
uh-huh.
is hard.
It's hard. It's hard
yeah.
work. But it's hard work that will pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, you know, you may think it's just too much. So then break it down.
Yeah.
Break it down. What smaller parts
yeah.
can you start to shift little by little?
I was thinking the same thing.
You know?
Just do one thing, small thing
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe maybe it is one small thing that you start, but that energy will start building.
I mean,
building
it could be as easy
building.
As just like
smiling
yeah.
in the mirror.
Smiling, just smiling
yeah.
to yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I'm doing it right now. Alex with the same energy going here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is a great idea, you know, because people don't understand. There's actually neuroscience behind the physical act of smiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually changes your mood.
Yeah.
And you get
and
rid
I've
of
told
the,
people that.
The wrinkle between your eyebrows.
Right. Yeah. So there's benefits.
Yeah, I read about all that stuff. I know.
You have no wrinkles in your face. It's because you smile all the time.
Yeah, smiling.
No, but it is. It's not about. You know, I think too often it's people think, well, you haven't been in my shoes and you don't know what I've been through, and maybe we haven't, and you know, but we have been through our own. Yeah. Cycles, yeah. And our own, you know, trails, and I think that all three of us share a similar experience of how mental strength has helped us so much.
I could talk about mental strength all day.
I know, like,
it comes down, like, everything that we're gonna talk about in all our future podcasts was going to come down to mental strength, even if we have, like, you know, caregivers come in and talk or other survivors.
Absolutely.
Like, everything is a mental strength. Like,
yeah.
It's a mental game. And,
for sure.
And, you know, I feel good with this podcast recording because all we're doing is really just reaffirming and reiterating and regurgitating and reminding.
Releasing good energy.
Yes. All of this. Yeah, just to let people, you know, like the example I said earlier, dude, like, you can say, I know, and then you leave and you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this, maybe if you hear this.
And I think people, too, they think that it has to be, like, this huge leap that they have to make to step into that positive.
Right.
I think that's what people think as well. Yeah. It's just, they're like, okay, I have to do this huge
thing. And that's
thing.
Overwhelming.
No, yeah.
It's like working out. It's like exercising.
Yeah. You just gotta
one push up at a time.
Start small.
Yeah.
One lunge.
Yeah.
One sit up.
Right. But eventually it builds.
It does.
And then you're running a marathon.
10 steps at a time. Yeah. When I left the hospital after my transplant, they told me that I need to walk every day. I couldn't take 10 steps out the door and not to walk back in. It was crazy. I really, like, I can't believe that actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time. That's
the way life
works.
It's just
constant reminding yourself and reframing, you know, that it doesn't have to all happen overnight, and it can just be a process of a little bit of a time.
Yes, you got to flow with Mother Nature.
Flow with Mother Nature.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the animals in the animal kingdom, you know, they get hurt. Or, you know, they don't just jump up and they're good. Like,
they take time to process, to heal.
Yeah. Just like everything is a process. We were talking about that last time. Process.
Yeah.
Process
sure.
that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, those are some good topics. Social media, you know, nowadays, like how it. You know, don't knock on social media, because social media, I always defend social media because I see the good that it does, like healing that it provides to people who are sick and beyond. Mm-hmm. Like, praises, like, you get good messages from people just on, you know, you say, oh, it's a beautiful day, and you put a post, and then everybody, you know, five people say, oh, it's a beautiful day or whatever. Like, you feel good.
Yeah.
It's something that can transcend this invisible energy that we were talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys are so lucky. You guys had
yeah
Wi-Fi.
I know. I think about that now.
It was dope.
Like,
it was.
Shit.
Yeah.
I know. I just had like basic cable.
Yeah, channel 2, 4, 5, 7.
I think 9. I had like ESPN somewhere on there, but.
99.
I know.
I didn't even use my cell phone. It sat in my car.
Were there cell phones back then? 99, 2000? Were there cell phones?
Yeah, God, we're not that old. Jesus.
Well, I mean, I just don't remember it using one or seeing one.
I had a cell phone. I had Nokia.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it sat in my car.
What color was yours?
Emergency only. Mine was like metallic rainbow.
Oh, nice. It was the analog Nokia phone.
Yeah.
Analog.
Yeah.
Do you know what analog is?
Yeah. Well, when I had a cell phone, that's when like you do like press it 3 times for like a C, right?
Yeah, that was even past that. That was past the first phones.
Oh.
My phone didn't even didn't have any text. You had to dial a number.
Oh.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Good old days.